You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
What's going on, Rev Church? Everybody say, yeah, buddy! So good to see all of y'all here this weekend. It's been an incredible weekend so far, and y'all are at church on Labor Day weekend. I'm so proud of you. Find somebody around you and say, I'm proud of you, homie. Go ahead. I'm so stinking proud of you. So glad you could be anywhere, and you decided to be at church on Labor Day weekend, and I'm so glad you're here. So, hey, we got a lot to go over today, so we're going to get right into it as we are smack dab, really toward the end. We're probably about a month away from ending our series in the book of Proverbs, where we have had an incredible time going through this book. If you're new to Revolution Church, I like to say this before every single time I preach, we keep things pretty simple here. We preach through the Bible because we believe the Bible is awesome. It's incredible on its own, and so we don't get real fancy with it. What we like to do is preach through entire books of the Bible or large passages of Scripture, verse by verse, so that you don't miss anything and you get the entire context. Proverbs, this series, has been a little different, though, because Proverbs is one of four books of the Bible that's written in a genre called Hebrew poetry. What that means is, any particular subject in Proverbs, you could find 10 to 20 different places sprinkled throughout the 31 books of Proverbs. So instead of just going verse by verse, which we've done a couple times through a few chapters, what we've done the majority of time in this book is we have looked at subjects and taken everything Proverbs has to say about it to try to get a better understanding of what we're talking about. Today is going to be no different, as we're going to find that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the subject of wise counsel. Everybody say, wise counsel. Yeah, y'all are with me today. That's good. Let's keep that thread going because we're going to have some awkward look at your neighbor moments today, okay, y'all? It's going to be good. So I want to start out, though, with a story that most people don't know. George Washington, who was our first president, when he was young, desired to be in the British Navy. As he grew up and became of age, he actually sought some advice from his mother, and his mother advised him against going into the British Navy. Can you imagine how things might have changed in our country if he had not listened to the advice of his mother? He ends up becoming the commander-in-chief of the entire army for the United States of America. What we learn from this is much of the course of our lives is determined by the input we get when making decisions and whether we heed wise counsel when we receive it. The question that we're going to try to answer today, and as we answer this, if you find personally that you're not doing things the way the Bible sets them up, if you're not answering this question in a positive light, in light of Scripture, then you'll make some changes and adjust how you do this. But the question is, how do you make decisions? How do you make decisions in your life? Now, there are really two categories of decision making, right? There are everyday decisions that are really black and white decisions that the Bible lays out for us that, again, black and white issue. Yes, do it. No, don't do it. For instance, if you're a salesman, should you lie to make a sale? The Bible tells you clearly, no, you should not do that. If you're a married guy in here, should you flirt with the cute gal that's behind the counter? No, you should not do that because it can lead to adultery. The Bible's very clear. Should you attend church on Labor Day weekend? Yes. Yes. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, I'm so proud of you, homie. Go ahead. Like, so proud. And you guys that are watching online, we're praying for y'all, you bunch of heathens, you know what I'm saying? We're the holy rollers that are in here live. We're just kidding. We're just kidding. So there's a lot of things in Scripture that are black and white, but then there are things that the Scripture gives us liberty on. They kind of fall into what I would call gray areas. Like, where does the Bible tell us quit this job and take this job? There's areas like, should I buy this house? Should I marry this person? Should I go to school here? There's all kinds of decisions like this that fall into these gray areas that Scripture isn't real clear on. But I'll tell you this, rest assured, God does have a decision he wants you to make on it. There is a decision that he wants you to make that is more black and white. Yes, he wants you to marry this person, or no, he doesn't. Or yes, he wants you to do this financial thing, or no, he doesn't. Wise counsel comes in helping us make these types of decisions. Now, before we get into this, I want to make something very clear. I like what Chuck Swindoll says. He says this: there is no counsel like God's counsel, no comfort like his comfort, no wisdom like the wisdom in Scripture. So before we start talking about wise counsel from people in your lives, let's make this clear. When making decisions, when doing things in your life, you have to bathe things in prayer. You have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you need to memorize Scripture and read Scripture, because those things are the things first and foremost that are going to lead you and guide you into wise decision-making and doing wise things in your life. But sometimes God also uses people to give you wise counsel and good advice in your life. The basis for what we're talking about today is found in chapter 12, verse 15 of the book of Proverbs that says this: the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Listen to that. The way of fools seems right to them. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Maybe you've known somebody that's a know-it-all. Stubborn is how we would describe them. Somebody that thinks they're always right. Somebody that, don't be pointing fingers, y'all. I hear you whispering and pointing fingers. Somebody that is uncompromising in thinking they know how things should go. Does anybody in here know somebody like that? Just raise your hand, raise your hand. Okay, listen. If you don't have your hand raised right now, then you're the one that's stubborn and uncompromising. You know how I know? Because right now you thought in your head, I'm not raising my hand because Pastor Josh says to her, this sermon's for you today. Big flashing sign. Jesus is saying, listen up. We've all struggled with this, right? We throw this term around in our culture all the time, narcissist. I want you to listen to the definition of what a narcissist is and compare it to the scripture we just read. Here's the scripture: the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. A narcissist is defined as someone with a distorted and inflated sense of self that can't see other points of view or flaws in their own thinking. Man, the Bible knew what a narcissist was before psychology even had a term for it. You know what it called a narcissist? A fool. A fool. Look at your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. What we're going to find today as we read through Proverbs, what it says about wise counsel, is one of the best and most effective ways God helps us make decisions is by sending godly people into our lives with wise advice to help us make those decisions. So number one, Proverbs tells us this. Everybody with me? Say, I am. Proverbs says this, and this is groundbreaking. You've never heard anything like this, okay? I love the Bible because it's so simple to understand, but this first point, you're going to need a mind diaper. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I've never heard anything like this before. Number one, Proverbs says, listen to wise people's advice. Wise people's advice. In chapter 13, verse 20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Wow. You know what that means? It means this: if you're broke, don't listen to advice on money from broke people. Can I get an amen, Rev Church? If you're having marriage problems, don't listen to someone with habitual marriage issues or divorces about marriage advice. Amen, Rev Church. If you're trying to get closer to Jesus, don't listen to advice from lost people. Blows my mind. Like Christians today, get online and listen to people like Jordan Peterson, Jocko Willink. I read their leadership stuff, but I'm not real sure if they know Christ. David Goggins, very inspiring. Don't think he knows Jesus. But Jordan Peterson holds Bible studies and people are eating it up. And I'm like, no! No, the whole point of Scripture is you've got to have the Holy Spirit in order to understand what Scripture is really saying. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? That's what the Scripture's saying. That's what the scripture's saying. What does it say? Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Let's make this abundantly clear. What is not places you find wise advice? You can't find it on social media. Everybody with me? Y'all are kind of giggling a little bit. You know why? Because most of us look for it on social media. You get on there and you ask, how do I look in this dress? How does this burger look I just cooked on the thing? Get on there and ask major life decisions, and you hear from somebody you ain't talked to in high school in 40 years? Listen, likes don't mean it's good advice. Some of us think, oh, if we get likes, it must be a good thing, and that's not always true. Just because someone is a family member does not mean that they are giving you wise advice. You need to know that. Some of y'all have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's leading you, and now the Holy Spirit's starting to whisper in your ear, don't listen to that family member anymore because they ain't got a clue what they're talking about. They don't know jack squat about anything. And you need to understand that. Just because they're family doesn't mean it's wise counsel. Just because they always agree with you doesn't mean it's wise counsel. In fact, we're going to find today, and we found this when we talked about speech that helps, that the book of Proverbs talks about, that rebuke is something that is very important for true friends to give you. You need people around you that are going to tell you when you're about to do something bad and not always just pacify you and agree with you. Just because someone is at the same stage of life as you are doesn't mean that they're going to offer wise counsel. Well, they've got two kids, and they're in their 30s, and they're on the New York Times bestseller list, so surely they've got some advice that could help me in my life. That's not always true. That is not where wise advice always comes from. You need to understand this, y'all. Some people ain't got the sense God gave a billy goat. You know how much sense a billy goat's got? Not much. And the problem with some of us in here today is you're surrounding yourself with people that are giving you advice and you're doing stupid things that are causing all kinds of problems because you don't realize this truth. Wise counsel comes from someone who's ahead of you, and their instruction helps you to move forward in your marriage, move forward in your family, move forward in your business, move forward in your relationship with Jesus. In chapter 12, verse 18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for strife. We're not looking for drama. We're not looking for harm, which is what happens when you hang around fools. No, we're looking for healing. That's what we want. So a wise person typically, it's not always every one of these attributes, but typically a wise person is a person that is older, they're more experienced, they love God, they love you, they qualify themselves with those two things. You know they love Jesus and you know they love you. They've made some mistakes and they know how to guide you through that. They're people that know the Bible, people that you know pray. See, if you have good friends, good mentors, good coaches in your life, and you listen to their advice, it will lead to making great decisions in your life. One theologian says it like this: a disciplined Christian will be careful what kind of counsel you hear. Counsel that contradicts the Bible is ungodly counsel. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in that. I can guarantee you that if you listen to the wrong people and unwise people, then your life will be as messed up as a football bat, so to speak. Does everybody catch that? Is it like Labor Day weekend and y'all are hungover from the game yesterday? It'll be as messed up as a football bat. Everybody say that with me, football bat. It'll be as messed up as a soup sandwich. Everybody say it with me, a soup sandwich. It'll be as messed up as Georgia football. Say it with me, Georgia. I don't know if Pastor Brandon's in here or not. So be careful, man. Number one, listen to wise people. Number two, y'all still with me? Say, I am. To walk in the Spirit means we listen to wise counsel. Listen to chapter 20, verse 18. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. I need everyone in here to be reminded of this that's been saved by the blood of Christ. If you're in here and you're saved and you're set free and you know you're going to heaven and Jesus' blood covers you, you need to understand that you are in the middle of something we call a spiritual war now. and that you have an enemy that is real, Satan and his demons, that wants to do everything he can to discourage you and to make you completely ineffective for the purpose that God has for you to further his kingdom. You are in the middle of a war. There are battles that are going to be fought in your life all the time. That's why there's things that happen in your life and all hell breaks loose and you can't explain it. I tell people every time they get baptized, get ready. Next couple of weeks, all hell's going to break loose because the enemy's going to try to steal this moment from you right now where you're being obedient to Jesus, and it's incredible. You need to know that that is real. You are waging war on the world and you cannot do it on your own. And if you try to do it on your own, you're going to have all kinds of pain and make all kinds of mistakes. One person said, you stand on the mistakes. This is what the church is when it comes to this area. We stand on the mistakes that others have made so we don't have to make them. People that have been there, done that, and tell you, don't do this. We tried this before and it's not good. Or do this because we've done this before and it works. You better have some people in your foxhole with you that are fighting the battle alongside you. You better have some people around you that have your back. You better have some people that will love you through everything that takes place. And if we're being honest, you better have some people that when you face a battle in your life that has overwhelmed you to the point where you're paralyzed and you don't know what to do, you need a Christian brother or sister that will drag you to the victory line of that battle. And if you don't have that, you are at a severe disadvantage. In chapter 24, verse 6 of Proverbs, it says, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. In 1 Kings chapter 12, I would encourage you to go read that chapter of the Bible because we see a great example of wise counsel and what it means to not follow wise counsel and what can happen as a result. Solomon had just succeeded his kingdom to his son, Rehoboam. King Rehoboam is approached by Jeroboam. That's a lot of Boams, y'all, and I'm going to try to keep them straight, okay? King Rehoboam is approached by Jeroboam, who is the leader of the Israelite people. Jeroboam goes to King Rehoboam and says, listen, we're working too hard. We're doing too much. The people are exhausted. You've got to do something. You've got to lighten this load on us, and you've got to do something different than what you're doing. King Rehoboam looks at Jeroboam. Again, a lot of Boams, okay? But King Rehoboam says, give me 3 days, and I'll make a decision. Let me think about this, and I'll tell you what my decision is on what I'm going to ask the people to do. Well, King Rehoboam does something very wise at first. He goes to his father's elders, the advisors that his father used. And mind you, Solomon might have been the most successful king in Israel's history. He talks to his father's advisors and they say, King, here's what you should do. Lighten the load. Bless the people. Tell them you're going to take care of them. You're going to bless them. They're not going to have to work as hard anymore. Well, after that, King Rehoboam does something extremely unwise and foolish. He goes and talks to his buddies that were young and they were stupid and they had no experience. They didn't know what they were talking about. They're sitting down probably having a beer, drinking a beer, smoking a cigar. And he says, hey, guys that I've kind of grown up with that are my buddies that are as old as me, what do y'all think I should do about the situation in the kingdom? And they say, man, you tell those people to suck it up. You tell the Israelites that you're going to work them even harder. You tell them you're going to get scorpions. You're going to whip their back if they don't work twice as hard for you as they did for your dad, Solomon. Well, Jeroboam comes back, the leader of the people, and King Rehoboam tells him what his young advisors said. He didn't listen to the wisdom of the older advisors with a proven track record. And as a result, Jeroboam tells the people, and what do you think happens? They revolt. They're like, we're not having anything to do with this. We're not going to work for you. Forget you. And he loses his kingdom. It's very important to understand that you've got to have people. You've got to listen to wise counsel. In chapter 11, verse 14, it says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Seems like the United States of America needs to hear some of these verses, don't y'all think? Seems like both candidates, and I'm not hating on any particular party, but both candidates have a whole bunch of idiots around them telling them to do all kinds of stupid crap that makes absolutely no sense. And they need to get their head out of their rear end and start listening to what the Word says so that we can be successful again. Is everybody with me? Say amen. I'm not hating on your candidate. I'm just telling you that Washington, D.C. has completely lost its way, and they've completely lost the idea of listening to wise people, listening to wise counsel, and understanding that this kingdom's going to fall if we don't follow what the Bible says to do. So it's crazy, man. It's just crazy. And so if I made you mad about talking about politics, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to talk about politics. It's just common sense. And if you're waiting on Washington, D.C. to fix your life, then you've lost your friggin' mind. You know what I mean? You know what will fix your life? Jesus, and you getting up off your rear end and doing something for yourself. Okay, y'all? So I'm an old man yelling at the clouds today. Sorry. But man, I just read Proverbs, and I'm just like, it's the government, man. Like the greatest oxymoron that there's ever been, government efficiency. It doesn't exist. Y'all know what I mean? And I agree with Ronald Reagan. I don't care who said it, but it's so true. Like the scariest thing in the world is when somebody says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Okay, y'all? So write a letter to your congressman and include these verses because we need them. We need them. Number three, everybody with me, say I am. Counsel turns a good idea into a great one. Wise counsel can turn your good idea into a great idea. Listen to chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. I see this verse played out in my life personally almost every single week, because every single week on Tuesday from 9 a.m. for 3 to 6 hours, I meet with the executive staff here at Revolution Church. And six of us sit down, and that's where we pray for you guys together. That's where we talk about everything going on in the church, and we bounce ideas off each other. We do it every single week. And it never ceases to amaze me how I'll think I've got the greatest idea that God has ever given a pastor ever in his life. And I'm thinking, man, the Lord has given me an idea, and man, it's going to blow up at Revolution Church and be awesome, and then everybody around the country is going to copy it, and then some book dealer's going to like call me and say, we need you to write a book on this great idea you had, Josh, because you're so smart, and you're so handsome, and you're so awesome. I thank you for laughing. I can't even get it out with y'all laughing at me. Come on, man. I thought I'd get like some, we love you, Pastor, but no, that's okay. But then I bring it to staff meeting, and one of two things always happens when I think I've got the greatest idea ever. Number one, we end up saying, we can't do that. Because people in the room say, Pastor, you can't do that. Have you thought about how it's going to affect this, 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 and this? There's no way we could do that. We don't have the ability to do that right now. We may be able to do it down the road, or we could never do that. So we come out of the meeting and I go, oh man, I'm glad I asked them, because that would have been a nightmare. Or secondly, what happens is my good idea turns into an incredible idea. Because after five people add their wisdom to it and their counsel to it for 30 minutes, man, we work out all the kinks, and a good idea becomes a great idea. Does that make sense to everybody? Say amen. Amen. It's the same thing in your life. Plans fail for lack of counsel. You think you got it all figured out on your own, and you're not going to ask some people that are wiser than you are, then you're in for all kinds of pain as a result. Listen to chapter 15, verse 31. Man, there's so much scripture just in Proverbs about this subject. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Fourthly, y'all with me, say I am. If you won't take advice, you're full of pride. If you won't take advice, you're simply full of pride. We went over this verse, I believe, when we did our pride sermon in the month of June. But in chapter 13, verse 10, it says, where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. It's interesting because the word for strife is traded out in a couple translations for where there is insolence. Pride is traded out for arrogance. And essentially what it all leads to is you can either listen to wise advice and have less drama, less conflict, less strife in your life, or you can be full of pride and you can have all these problems, all this conflict. Chris Jamie said this once, and let me read this slow, because the first time I read it, I had to read it like five times to really understand what they were saying. This is what it says at the beginning. Never take advice about never taking advice. Took me a few times. Some of y'all got it the first time. Listen, never take advice about never taking advice. Our world says, do it on your own. Figure it out by yourself. Carve your own path. That's not wisdom. Jump on a path that somebody has already been on. This is what the Bible's saying. It's a lot easier trip when you do that. It says, never take advice about never taking advice. That is an old vice of men, to dish it out without being able to take it. The blind leading the blind into more blindness. Suck it up. Do it on your own. Don't ask for help in your life. Don't ask for help in a situation. If you think that way, it's going to lead to all types of unnecessary pain, all types of problems. Some of y'all need to understand that you're sitting in a church right now, and we have almost 1,000 people that come here every weekend. You are surrounded with all kinds of people, and if you think there's not someone at Revolution Church that can pour wisdom into you, pour advice into you, and help you in your life, you are full of pride. And man, Satan has blinded you. It's right here. The information is right here to help you through your life. See, the reality is we all struggle. And sometimes God puts people in our life that say things that we don't want to hear, but deep down we know we're hearing what we need to hear, but we end up bucking it because we're prideful. Proverbs is saying, swallow your pride, take the advice. In Proverbs 15:12, it says, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. What does that mean? Let me give you an example from my life because I know my life best. As the pastor of this church for 11 years, it's interesting to me how people will come to the church, they'll get saved, they'll get baptized, they'll be on fire for Jesus. Man, a few months go by, they're coming, man, growing in their faith, maybe even a few years. And then all of a sudden, they stop showing up and we don't hear from them. They don't respond to any communication. And then down the road, we find out they're participating in some type of habitual, gross sin in their life. In other words, they've become a mocker. And as a result, they completely avoid wise people. Recently in my life, a very good friend of mine walked away from God, completely walked away from God, did something that is completely anti-biblical, just sick, broke my heart. And honestly, I fear for this person's life because of what they're doing, because God will not be mocked. Well, what coincided with them doing this was them also deleting every single person at the church, blocking every staff person on their social media. Between myself, Pastor Brandon, Jeff, who's our Rev Men's minister, 30 text messages sent, completely ghosted. Myself personally trying to call this person at least 4 times to figure out what is going on. Why have you lost your mind? Why are you walking away from God? Completely ghost me. Go, why? It's not because I'm wise. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to be prideful up here. But people know what I'm going to tell them. They know what I'm going to say. They know I'm going to say, get your head out of your rear end. Have you lost your stinking mind? What are you doing? Walking away from God, walking away from all the blessings that God has given you. That's what we find. That's this scripture pointed out. People go missing. They go missing and we don't hear from them. It's because we find out they're living with their boyfriend. Shacked up, playing house. And you know what happens when you live together before you're married? This thing called sex, y'all. You bang when you live together before you're married. And anybody in here that comes to me and says, we don't, you're a liar too. Shut up. How can a man pour hot coals on his lap and not get burned? It don't happen. And it infuriates me that people throw away what God has for them over some stupid, idiot boyfriend or girlfriend. Is that too strong for y'all? Is everybody okay? See, I thought you thought it was going to be a good week because I preached on gluttony last week. And you thought, well, this week's got to be better than last week. But here we are. And it's third service and I'm all jacked up and I've had too much caffeine. And y'all are getting the worst of it. So is everybody all right? Say amen. Amen. Don't throw away your life for something stupid. Don't avoid wisdom. Young people in here, don't watch TikTok for your relationship advice. Don't watch TikTok. I mean, hey, we talk about sex at this church when it comes up. What do y'all want us to do? Let the next generation get raised at their school on this? Learn about it through social media? I mean, I'm sorry if it offends you, but we got to deal with this stuff so that we can give wise advice in these areas. Make sense to everybody? Say amen. Okay, lastly, are y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. Lastly and finally, Proverbs tells us that God's purpose always prevails. God's purpose always prevails. Chapter 19, verse 20 through 21, listen to what it says. It starts out like this, listen. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, listen. That's not loud enough. Look at your neighbor and say, listen! Shake them if they're asleep. Get them woke up. You got to listen here. Listen, y'all. This is wise advice here. This is from the book of Proverbs. It's all about wisdom. The whole reason Proverbs was written is to Solomon's son so that they could have wisdom. So we get to benefit later. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. What does that verse mean? It means that sometimes we want to do something, but someone else comes in and rebukes you and says, you better not do that. If that person loves Jesus and loves you, you need to be thankful for that person. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. Because sometimes God's purpose seems clear, not to you, but to those around you, and you need rebuke to make sure you don't make a mistake and mess it all up. It also speaks on the other side of that to sometimes there's times when God is pushing us to do things and we don't have the confidence to do it or we're not sure if we should do it and someone comes along and encourages you. That's a good thing too. Because once again, sometimes God's purpose seems clear to those around you and you need counsel and encouragement to not miss what God has for you. And that's a great thing. Of course, the next verse says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. The Lord's purpose that prevails. Recently, we announced 2 weeks ago that Pastor Brandon is going to be leaving Crossville, and he's going to be going to plant a Rev Church in the 865 area code in the Knoxville area. And I'm so excited about that. But how that came about was years of prayer. But more specifically, recently, about 6 weeks ago, Brandon, Pastor Brandon and I were sitting in his office. And we kind of were talking about what God was doing in his life. And he made the statement, I think God's leading me to go plant a church. And I was like, I think God's leading you to go plant a church too. And we got really excited. And I was like, dude, this is going to be awesome. You guys know me. I'm like a chihuahua on crack, as somebody said in an anonymous letter to me one time, right? But man, I was really excited. But you know, the first thing I told Pastor Brandon to do, and he completely listened to my advice, I said, but before we know for sure, let's do this. Let's go talk to some people and get some wise counsel. And instead of just me and you deciding, let's go ask them, do you see the ability for Brandon to be able to do this? Does he have the giftings and the talents to be able to be a senior pastor, lead pastor that could go plant a church? And so immediately we went to the executive staff, went to the elders of the church, and Brandon humbly went before them and said, do you guys think I can do this? And of course, overwhelmingly, every single one of those leaders was like, oh yeah, we knew you were going to do this one day. This is not a shock at all. You're an incredible leader. You're an incredible preacher, incredible person, high integrity. But he submitted himself to that process of listening to wise counsel. Because there's people around you that see things that you don't see. And you need their input on those things. Wise counsel is essential to living a life for God, Rev Church. 2 weeks ago, we had a guy come in and replace our grinder pumps here at the church. And I told you guys a month ago that our grinder pumps had went out. Does anybody know what a grinder pump is? Raise your hand. Not everybody, so let me explain it to you. Okay, a grinder pump, this is going to be fun. A grinder pump, and I'm not trying to be gross, I'm just trying to bring this lesson home, okay, y'all? So a grinder pump is what grinds up everything that has been flushed down the toilets and then sends it to the sewer. Well, about a month ago, we have two grinder pumps here because we got so many bathrooms here. Praise Jesus for the bathrooms. Amen, Rev Church. If y'all were at the mall, you know what I'm talking about. If you're new, you don't know. We used to have two bathrooms, and that was it. And it was like waiting in line 30 minutes. But we have two grinder pumps. One of them went out. And while that one was out, the other one went out too. But when the grinder pump's not working, what happens is everything that gets flushed doesn't get ground up, and it eventually clogs up the grinder pump, and there's a little sewer-like thing out in front right underneath the Revolution Church sign outside, and it fills up with, you know what I mean? And it had filled up with, you know. And we called this guy who's literally changed out hundreds of grinder pumps. He's a plumber. And he came and looked at it and said, well, here's what we got to do. We got to get somebody in here with a pump to suck all this junk out of this little sewer thing. And then I'll go down there and I'll order a couple of grinder pumps. And then I'll come back and I'll get in there and I'll take the old ones out. And we'll try to fix them up for you so you have a backup. And then we'll replace them. And it's going to be $20,000 to do this, you know, which, by the way, is way too low for what they do. I'm just telling y'all. Man, if you're a plumber in here, you should make three times what you make because they get doo-doo all over them, y'all. I'm just saying, it's awful. Like, I mean, goodness gracious. You guys are awesome, man, you guys that do these kind of jobs, right? Amen, y'all. Like, thank goodness for those people because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Could you imagine if when this man who has done this hundreds of times, replaced grinder pumps, came, if when my assistant, my executive assistant, Brandy, told me this, I said, you know, tell him to hold off because I think I've got my own plan that I'm going to do. I think I'm going to get down in there and try to fix those pumps that are in there. What would happen if I got down in there, tried to fix those pumps that were in there? Well, number one, I'd get junk all over me, and it would be a mess. Secondly, nothing would be fixed. And that Sunday, when you come to Revolution Church, there might be things floating around in the lobby. Not to be gross. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Say amen. I don't need to get any more detail, right? That'd be ridiculous. Totally crazy, right? No, he's the one that knows what he's doing. Why would I do that? You know, that's such a figurative example to how some of us are in our lives. God has sent people into your life that's been there hundreds of times, seen it, done it. They're telling you, here's what you need to do. Maybe it takes a little sacrifice to do it. But so many of us say, no, I'll try to do it on my own. And what happens? We make a mess of things. We make a mess of things. We get it all over us because we won't listen to wise counsel of parents that love Jesus, pastors that love Jesus, small group leaders that love Jesus, friends that love Jesus and know you and love you and want to tell you, man, you're headed for a dead end. And we go, no. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'll fix the grinder pump in my life. And it's like, no wonder. I don't know how to say this other than this. It's no wonder you got so many stinky things floating around in your life. Does this make sense to everybody? Say amen. Because you don't take wise counsel. When God's put it right in front of you. Listen, y'all, what you need to do, here's the homework for today. When you leave here, you go find some people and some friends and some coaches and some mentors that love Jesus and love you. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, will you be my friend? Go ahead. Will you be my friend? Ask him. Don't be stubborn. The whole sermon was about you. You know what I mean? Be my friend. Find somebody you don't know right now. Find somebody. Make eye contact with them. Make it weird. Look at them right eye to eye and say it like this. Say, will you be my friend? Friend. Say it just like that. Just look at them awkwardly. Will you be my friend? You better have some, y'all. You better have some. You better have some people that are wise. Hey, this church, I'm just going to tell you, we've made it 11 years, not because I'm a genius or know what I'm doing. Anybody's ever, hey, thank you. Appreciate that. I set myself up. Dadgummit. Who said that? That's awesome. Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate that. I'll send you a Christmas card. Man, there's so many things I've done that are dumb, but there's so many things I've avoided. So many things that I didn't want to do that we did because we had wise counsel. We got an incredible group of elders, incredible staff that does an incredible job. And so I try to do that in my life, and you need to do that in yours too. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, we love you. God, I struggle with pride. I struggle with being a know-it-all. I struggle with thinking I've got all the answers.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.